Will the young people come and join me? Good to see everybody. Oh, my goodness. You are still kids. How's everybody doing? You guys doing good? You're doing good? Look at you all sparkly today. You know, there's a lot more room up here. You guys don't have to sit on top of each other. Scooch up. Scooch up and make room. Good job. Okay, now I have a question for you. Okay, if you have a piece of paper and you wad it up and you throw it down on a floor in your house, who should pick that up? Yeah. You should pick it up. That's right. Do you always pick up after yourself in your house? Good boy. Awesome. All right. You know, it says in God's word that we must be responsible for the things that we do. And that's a lesson that we must learn. And you know what that means? That means that when we mess up our rooms at home, I mean, Mom may help us out by cleaning it up. I mean, she may do that. She will do that because she loves us. But as far as God's concerned, that responsibility is ours. We should always clean up our own room. We should always do what has to do with us ourselves, if we can, if we are old enough to do that. We should take care of those things. That's a very, very important lesson to learn. And I would teach that to my children, although it's now too late for that. But I don't have that responsibility for my grandchildren. But certainly that's a lesson that all of us parents, it's a very, very important lesson that we teach your children. But what I want you to always remember, because I want you to remember that we said it in church, is it's not just that Mom wants you to pick up after yourself. It's not just that Dad wants you to pick up after yourself. If you share a room, it's not just that your brother or your sister that you share the room with wants you to pick up after yourself. God wants you to pick up after yourself and to take care of your own things. Okay, let's bow our heads and pray. Well, Father God, we thank you so much for moms and dads who help us to take care of things that are really our responsibility. And we pray that as we get older, that we would always be responsible for our own stuff. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. You can get a goodie. Good stuff in that basket.
I've been pretty troubled this week with the demonstrations that I've been seeing on the news. Apparently, there's a whole bunch of young people, and I guess some old people too, who are against what they think capitalism is all about. Now I'm just as much against the shady practices of Wall Street as the next guy. But uncontaminated capitalism is a biblical concept. That whole idea of reaping what we sow, and it's provided a higher standard of living for Americans than has ever been seen before in the history of the world. I'm afraid we adults have done young people a disservice in this country. We have failed to communicate to them the biblical concept of providing for and being responsible for oneself. And I'm afraid that some people just think the government is the answer, and more government, and more government, and more government. You know, I'm planning on beginning a series this week. Well, you know, God willing and the cricks don't rise. And I don't do it very often, but I'm just so kind of disturbed about what I've been seeing that I think that we need to take some time to talk about taking responsibility. And I think that we need to ask ourselves as Christians some really hard questions. And one of which is the question, am I really taking responsibility for myself? Really? Responsibility isn't a difficult concept. Neither is irresponsibility. You know, irresponsibility is when I don't take responsibility for the things that I am responsible for. Okay, that's not tough. And irresponsibility, really, let's be honest, is really very difficult to see in the mirror. I can see irresponsibility in other people very quickly, but it is almost impossible for me to see it in myself. Sometimes I feel like our whole culture is becoming less and less responsible, and it seems like more and more irresponsibility seems to be honored. And there's this strange confusion in our country about the issue of civil rights and civil liberties and exactly what rights we have as citizens according to the Constitution. Now, there are some of you that know a whole lot more about this than I do. But it seems like there's this new twist on civil rights that's kind of become fashionable, and it goes something like this. The Constitution has given me certain rights, and because of that, I have the right to be irresponsible. And you don't have the right to hold me accountable. And I have the right to do whatever it is I want to do, and to say whatever it is I want to say, and act in whatever way I want to act, and you don't have the right to hold me responsible. At the same time, though, you are responsible to clean up the mess I make by being irresponsible. You are responsible to pay the bill that I've made with my irresponsibility. Now, some mistakenly think, as an American citizen, that my civil rights give me the right to act irresponsibly. But you don't have the right or the responsibility to hold me accountable. Now, don't go where I know you're going. This is not a political sermon. This has nothing to do with politics. This is just a reality that we can see in our culture, regardless of what your politics are. The problem is irresponsibility. Whether it's in your family, or whether it's in your company, or whether it's in your church, or whether it's in the nation. And irresponsibility is contagious, especially when people who are irresponsible get rewarded for it. You know, think about this. You know, why should I work hard? Why should I pay my own way? Why should I clean up my own messes? Why should I go without because of my irresponsibility, when other people are rewarded for their irresponsibility? People have really, in this country, discovered ways to profit over their irresponsibility. And it's a rule. What is rewarded is repeated. So it's just the nature of how the world works. So in a culture where irresponsibility is rewarded, then irresponsibility is repeated. But here's the deal with irresponsibility. Anytime an individual or group of people acts irresponsibly, somebody else has to come along and clean up the mess of that irresponsibility. Irresponsibility, you see, it isn't a neutral thing. It's not a personal thing. Irresponsibility always has to be taken care of by someone else. So in other words, when I act irresponsible, I am expecting other people who really aren't responsible for me to carry the burden of the mess that I've made. Responsibility is not a personal thing. It is a very big deal, and it's a very big problem. It's a community thing. It's a family thing. It's a business thing. And that's why it's really, really important to know what it means to have civil rights. You see, an attitude that says, I have the freedom to be irresponsible, and because of my civil rights, you don't have the freedom to force me to deal with the mess that I've created by being irresponsible. You see, that just doesn't work in a relationship. That doesn't work in a family. Have you tried that? Yeah, some of us have. We know that doesn't work. It doesn't work in the business world. It doesn't work in our country. Irresponsibility is not personal. It's a corporate affair. Someone somewhere has to pay the bill. Now, it's easy, though, to talk about those terrible, irresponsible people out there, but I want to talk about us. You know, there are times in all of our lives when we want to shirk our responsibility. There's a time all the time, you know, in some of our lives at some point where we all want to shirk our responsibility. But if you are a Christian, here's the deal, you can't do that. You have to stop it. If you have decided that you are a follower of Jesus, I don't care what political persuasion you are. I don't care what the color of your state is. You cannot shrink your responsibility. Because you see, ultimately, you're not responsible to your mom. And ultimately, you're not responsible to your dad. And you're not responsible to your husband, or you're not responsible to your wife, or even your family, or your boss, or even your president. You are ultimately accountable to God. And as hopefully We will see in this series that we're beginning today, God has given you responsibilities. And you're accountable to God for what you do with those responsibilities. Christians ought to be the most responsible people on earth because we, more than everybody else, understand how everything is interconnected. We Christians, we ought to know better. You know we should pay our bills, and we know we should pay our taxes, and we know we should clean up our own messes, and we know we should learn to take care of ourselves, and we know we should take care of our families. And if this is you, you know that you ought to pay your child support. We know that we should be incredible examples of what it means to be responsible, because in the end, we know we're accountable to God. We can't be irresponsible. We just can't do it. It is off limits to those of us who are believers. Now, I want to tell you the story of where irresponsibility began. It's the familiar story I read. Only I want to look at it from a little bit different perspective. Book of Genesis, creation story. Almost everything has been created, right? God creates man and woman. He creates human beings. He says, so God created human beings in his own image, in the image of God. He created them male and female. He created them. Okay. Now, before God gives the human race a bunch of stuff to do, before he gives the law of the Ten Commandments, God gives human beings responsibility. Before there was sin in the world, there was responsibility. Listen to verse 28. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, over every living creature that moves on the ground. In other words, God tells Adam and Eve they need to have some babies. They need to rule over the earth. And he tells them human beings are responsible for earth. There's just one rule. Stay away from that one tree. And a whole lot of responsibility. Genesis 1:29 says, then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the earth, every tree that has fruit with its seed, blah, 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 and it will be all yours for food. So in the beginning, God gave mankind responsibility to subdue the earth and to take care of the planet. It's written in Scripture. Here's the deal. You were created to be responsible. Human beings are the most content when there is something that we are responsible for and we are doing a really good job. That's when we're happiest. If you're a mom, you know how good it feels to just make some good choices about your children. You know, you just know that. We all feel better about ourselves when we're taking responsibility for the things that we're responsible for. We are just designed to feel that way. The reason it's so difficult to be unemployed is because the one that can't find work can't take care of their responsibilities. That's why it's so hard. Do you know that I have never met a happy, irresponsible person? I've met lots of people who have insisted that it's not their fault. I have met lots of people who insist that they are not to blame. But after they make their case, you know what? There's no smile on their face. There's no peace in their lives. We're all created to be responsible. Now, the story of creation, you know, it doesn't go so well after that part. Satan comes in, tempts Eve. The Bible says that Adam's right there with her. They both sin. And as soon as they sin, they lose their accountability to God. They feel ashamed and naked, so they hide. You know, in a culture where everybody takes responsibility for their own stuff, when everybody takes responsibility for what they are responsible for, you know, there doesn't need to be a lot of rules. And that's true in a family, in a business, and in a country. Do you know, I heard it said one time that you know how you can tell a culture is in decline is because more and more laws are being made to try to hold the line against chaos. There was just one rule in the Garden of Eden, and Adam and Eve broke it. And then Adam said, yes, I broke the rule. I take full responsibility for my actions. Do whatever it is that you want to do with me, but leave Eve out of this. Eve out of it. The responsibility is mine. Yeah, well, that's not exactly what Adam said. The world would be a different place if that's what Adam had said. But instead, as Scripture says, the man said, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some of the fruit from the tree and I ate it. Adam blames God for putting Eve there with him. It's all God's fault. And then Adam says, I'm not responsible for this. And then the Lord says to the woman, and what is this you've done? And the woman says, the serpent deceived me and I ate. Eve doesn't take responsibility either. Your responsibility, you know what comes along with responsibility? Always conflict. Irresponsibility blames. Blames always. Blaming always leads to conflict. Where there's blame, there's shame, a lot of guilt wrapped up in that. It's very unusual today for someone to step up and say, it may not be my fault, but I'm responsible for this. It's my family, and I'm responsible. It's my department, and I'm responsible. It's my business. I'm responsible. Blame comes from irresponsibility, and it just doesn't work very well. Have you ever respected somebody more after they have blamed their way out of something? Have you ever respected that person more? You know, I mean, have you ever wanted to be like a person who blames their way out of stuff? Have you ever wanted to be really around that person? Do you want to hire them as an employee? Now, and we all know that we don't get anything from blaming, because blame, you know, what is blame? It's just this tactic we use to shift responsibility away from the one who really is responsible. And wherever there's irresponsibility, there's conflict. But irresponsibility goes deeper than that. Irresponsibility creates conflict with others. And not only does it create conflict with other people, it creates conflict in our hearts, in our own lives. Now, I may be able to convince you that I'm not to blame for something. I may be just do a song and dance, and I may be able to convince you that I am not to blame for something, but I will never convince myself, because I will always know the truth. You never see irresponsible people being happy and content after they've successfully shifted blame, because they still feel guilty. We were designed to be responsible people. And when we shirk responsibility and expect somebody else to shoulder the burden, we will never fulfill our God-given potential. Now, you know, with the Lord, it's never too late to get out from underneath the burden of guilt that comes along with being irresponsible. God would love to lift that burden from your shoulders. But it means that you have to take responsibility for your own life. So there are two things I want to challenge you to do this week. Two things. First, I want you to listen to how you talk this week. Listen to your blame. We all do it. And I'm not asking you to be a different person. I just want you to listen to the words that come out of your mouth as they have to do with blame. Just listen to those. We are so used to blaming other people or other circumstances for our health or our grades or our situation or our job. So just listen to any kind of blame that you say or think. And when you catch yourself blaming someone, even just thinking about that it's somebody else's fault, or something or someone, and when you catch yourself doing that, ask yourself this question: am I really taking responsibility for my own life? Because whenever you shift the responsibility away from you, wherever you begin to blame someone else or something else, somebody else has to clean up your mess. Now, irresponsibility is not personal. It affects others. You can ignore your health, in other words, for many, many years. But here's something that you ought to try doing. Why don't you sit down with your husband and wife this week, while you're healthy? And why don't you say, will you please take care of me when my body doesn't work anymore because I won't take care of myself? Why don't you sit down with your husband and wife and ask them while you're still healthy, you know, because I'm irresponsible at taking care of my own health, will you take care of me when I become sick and I can't take care of myself anymore? You have that conversation now, and you see how far you get with that. Now, the second thing I want to ask you to do this week, it needs an illustration. Very famous marriage counselor, Andy Stanley. He's teaching a pastor seminar, and he says that he always began his counseling in the same way. He said one spouse would come into his office ranting and raving and say, my husband does this, or my wife will never do this, and it would always go from there. And he said, and when he first began counseling husbands and wives, he used to think, boy, this counseling isn't going to go very well, because the person who apparently needs this counseling isn't the one in the room, because obviously it's all the other person's fault, you know, because that was, you know, that was their story and they were sticking to it. So what he began to do is he'd get a piece of paper and he'd draw a circle on it. He'd say, this is a pie that represents all that is wrong with your marriage. This is the pie that represents the chaos in your marriage. Now, 100% of the blame is in this pie, because that's where all the problems are. This is where the chaos is. And he would give them a pen and he would say, draw a slice of pie that you think represents your responsibility for all the problems. He said the piece of pie they drew was never very big. But then he would say, okay, so why don't you and I do this? We are only going to talk about the piece of pie that's your responsibility. He said the approach never worked, because the people could never stay on their own piece of pie. They wanted to talk about the rest of the pie. So here's what I want you to do this week. Listen to your words. Listen to the blame words that you use that come out of your mouth. When you come in contact with a difficult situation, with someone at work, with someone at home, or with any of your friends, or if you have any kind of a conflict, big or small, stop and think about your own slice of pie and ask yourself, what is in my slice of pie? Have I taken responsibility for my life, really? Or am I just kind of enjoying blaming everything else and everyone else, and it's allowed me to ignore what I am responsible for? God has created you to handle responsibility. It's your job. You're the happiest when you take responsibility for what you're responsible for and do a really good job with it. That's when you're the happiest. But we live in a culture that has contagious irresponsibility. So we have to constantly be on our guard. And it begins by us asking ourselves this simple question that for the next couple weeks we're going to ask ourselves every Sunday. Am I really taking responsibility for my life? Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, you know it's just what we do. We do it as good people. We do it as your children. We always look for somebody to blame. And Father, we would say that it's how we've been trained in our culture, but that would be blaming the culture. Forgive us, Lord. Make us responsible people, responsible servants, children of yours. Because we pray it through Jesus, who can make it possible in our lives. Amen. Please stand for the benediction. Before I give us the benediction from Galatians, I just wanted to remind everybody we have new people, and we have this thing that we do, being yoked with Zion Church, that we have some joint services every year. And every year, we have people that show up here or that show up at Zion because they didn't understand the concept of a joint service. We don't do it very often, but next week is one of them. And next week is Rally Day at Zion. They bring in a really awesome gospel group. And we have a wonderful foot stomping, hand clapping gospel time. But worship begins at 10. There is no worship here at 8:45. You can sleep in. 10 o'clock in the morning, next Sunday, but it's at Zion. Now, I have heard people say, oh, we have to climb up those stairs. They have a little elevator. Okay, no excuse. It's small there, yes, but if nobody shows up, it's big. And we want them always to come to our joint services. So it seems to me like we ought to make efforts to get to the joint service that's at Zion. A lot of us are related. Well, and for sure we're related in Jesus. It's a wonderful service. And then we have a covered dish afterwards. So worship is at 10. Covered dish is 11-ish, 11:30. We go back to the social hall. We stuff ourselves. Then we repent for our gluttony. And we have a wonderful fellowship time with the church that we are yoked together with, the white church around the corner from Heisler's. Next week, there will be no church here at 8:45. If I didn't make that clear twice now, I'm making it for the third time. If you know anyone, you look around and they're not here, you look around and you call them and tell them and pick them up to take them up to church for 10 up in the valley. And then, covered dish! June's spaghetti casserole, my favorite. Prepare your hearts for the benediction. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please the sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those believers who belong to the family of God. Amen.